After experiencing the transformative power of a regular meditation practice, it's natural to feel inspired to share this gift and guide others on their own journey of discovery through meditation. Join Buddhist teacher David Nichtern and Duncan Trussell, comedian and creator of the Netflix animated series The Midnight Gospel, for a free online event on Tuesday, May 7th at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. They'll discuss the profound practices of mindfulness in Dharma Moon's renowned mindfulness meditation teacher training program. Get certified by Dharma Moon to teach meditation, lead group practice sessions, and work with individual students. Visit dharmamoon.com/beherenow for more info and to reserve your spot for the free online event with David Nichtern and Duncan Trussell.
Welcome to Ram Dass Here and Now. I'm Raghu Marcus with another episode. Today, actually, we're going to switch gears a little bit. And I just thought it'd be fun to introduce a little bit different aspect. Mostly, we use archival talks that Ram Dass has given over the years. And I just was looking in the last at some of the media library stuff from ramdass.org, which is very rich, and I saw a talk. Ram Dass holds these talks in his house that we call Puja Side Chats because they're done right in front of this very large puja table, altar table, that he's got in his living room, and it looks out. You can look out to the ocean out of his big bay windows. It's very, very beautiful. And so he's had different people that he sits with and just has a chat with. And today I picked a chat that he did with Lama Surya Das, who was with us back in the day with Neem Karoli Baba, with Maharaji. And then he, in the 70s, went off with some incredible high lamas of the Tibetan Buddhist tradition and did a lot like Karmapa and Kalu Rinpoche. And he himself did some very intense practices in France for a number of years, meditating solo in a cave, not seeing anybody, and I think he just would have little conferences with his teacher and so on. And so he has a really special perspective on two different paths, the path of bhakti and the Tibetan Buddhist path. So he has fascinating conversations with Ram Dass whenever they get together. I don't know if you've ever, he's also done some, recently just did a webcast with Ram Dass. And so I thought it would be interesting. We're going to put him in different parts. There's some with him, and we have another couple coming up. We'll see. Well, you can write to us at info@ramdass.org and tell us whether you like this or not. It's a little, because it's different. It's the two of them in repartee, as they say. So, otherwise, please do continue to support the foundation at ramdass.org and the retreats that we're doing. Big retreat coming up. There's still spots, by the way. April 29th to May 4th, Cultivating the Courage to Love with Ram Dass Krishnadas, Roshi Joan Halifax, and you can go to ramdass.org. If you feel like at a last-minute thing, you can pop over there and spend some wonderful time with us. We'll all be there. And again, thanks for the support for the foundation. You can continue to do so by going to ramdass.org and clicking on the donate button. And we shall see you again next week. Here is Ram Dass, Here and Now, with Lama Surya Das.
Row, row, row your boat gently
row,
down
row,
the stream.
Row, row, row your boat
merrily, 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 merrily.
Merrily, 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 merrily.
Life is but a dream. Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Verily, 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 I'm glad to be here. Rom, rom, rom your dust gently down the dream. Happily, joyously, warmly, lovingly, life is just a stream. I learned that from him. It's all his fault. He's the producer, the administrator of this
Maharaji's Maha the producer.
Maha Facebook production. Maharaji's the producer?
Maharaji's the producer.
Is there a director, or is Maharaji doing all the roles? Is there an actor?
He's all the whole thing. We are all.
He's the whole thing. He's whole too much. Thing.
He's too much. He's
okay, that was our moment of laughing yoga.
Keep it up during your program.
A laughing yoga of much too much unexplored area of the divine practice.
Yeah. But sadhana is not a laughing matter.
It's not?
You mean it is?
I don't know. I love sadhana. Yeah. It's not always easy, but it's delightful.
It's rewarding,
it's juicy, it's everything sadhana should be.
Yes.
And more. Surprising.
Yes.
Like Maharaji. Like life itself. What is our true sadhana? I'm thinking about this these days, and what's real spiritual life, spiritual practice? What is sadhana? What is our true way?
What is it?
Our true way.
My true way is just hanging out with Maharaji. That's the only thing I've got is sadhana. As long as I think he's wisdom, he's compassion, he's peace, he's love. I want to hang out with a person like that.
Me too.
Going through life.
Is there anything that he is not? Many people have trouble accepting some of the difficult, dark, or even tragic, ugly sides of life. Is there anything that it is not?
Well, he's suffering. Suffering is a stepping stone towards God. It's called useful suffering. Mm-hmm. or dharmic suffering.
Yeah. We were talking about that yesterday at dinner, probably you remember, about turning our karma into karma yoga, into a way to God, to the highest, a way home. Not just being lost in the conditioning, but really offering it up so that the buoyance of spirit helps lift the burden off us. So it's not just our suffering, but it's his suffering, but it's just suffering. It doesn't afflict us in the same way any longer.
The suffering.
The suffering.
Like I the stroke is the suffering in the world. Because the suffering is dharmic. Is dharmic. You know, it depends on you what how you look at each thing. We can take that this as well, two egos sitting down, be somebody. Or we could be Dharma masters, or we could be friends, or we could be two guys going on the route to Maharaji's feet. We're both dasas.
Let's be that.
Yeah. Okay.
I like that. I like that route. Sometimes it seems longer than at other times.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's right here. He has big feet.
Each moment is a moment with God. Each moment is a moment in God. Each moment, like this moment. Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah. You know, each practice, you can give a person a practice, like karma yoga or anything like that, and they can misuse it, or they can, like a kirtan. They're just singing. Well, like they've forgotten that they're singing the names of the one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When people do beads, some of them show other people that their beads around the beads, rather really they're singing Ram, 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 Ram. Mm-hmm. Or another one is Hatha Yoga, which becomes body beautiful work.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than just each pose is shaking hands with God. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful yoga you described. Shaking hands with God, every pose. So could we take that past Hatha Yoga and outside the yoga studio into every mudra is Mahamudra, or everything we do is shaking hands with God? And what is intention or remembering not to forget, remembering to remember, remindfulness, as I call it, come in?
You mean?
Which distinguishes conscious life from unconscious life, although it's all...
It's remembering, it's remembering, it's remembering, it's remembering. Yeah. Then if each moment of your life is remembering God, oh, yum, 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 yum.
Yum, yum. So what keeps us from remembering? I feel like we're so habituated and conditioned, partly from nature and background, deep background, and partly from nurture and our this life karma and society and education, to remember things we put in, like the programming, but lose touch with the bigger picture. What obscures this inner light that illumines us, by which we see and are seen?
Our mind.
Mind?
Yeah.
Conceptual mind? Thinking.
Yeah. 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 Because like that bird we just heard, It could be God sending a reminder, or it could be just a bird, or it could be static on the machine. Those three.
So I choose to take it as God's Dharma teaching or song or poem.
Yeah.
But in a way, that's a choice. So that's why I'm asking you, where does will or intention or a little bit of focus, you know, intention come in to distinguish the just unconditioned, unconscious life from the conscious life that sadhaks and practitioners aspire to, although it's all the divine life. You know, it's like some are sleeping Buddhas and some are awakening Buddhas, even though we're all Buddhas by nature, still we're asleep in the dream, the nightmare that we're suffering or that things are not the way they should be.
It's not a nightmare. It's intention. What is life? What is life's goal? What is life's goal? A spiritual goal is a goal to become awakened, a goal to become the awakened one. That's the Buddha. Huh? Then this minute is a stepping stone. Everything is water, sheer water.
We all drink from the same well.
That's right.
So every moment is a stepping stone to the infinite or the timeless that's sort of at its heart, transcendent over it, imminent in it at the same time.
But that's the thing that I have wonderful thoughts about is moments and minutes,
hours.
Time is just irrelevant. Is that right?
I don't know. I thought you said time is relative or illusory.
Out there. Is it relative or illusory? Because the moment seems to be infinite. Just if you delve into a moment, you just get caught, not caught. You stay in the infinite. I'm just having such fun growing old, because growing old allows me to stay in the infinite. People expect I'm silent.
Not so much, but I know what you're saying.
Yeah, you know.
Sometimes your silence roars like thunder. So are you going to start growing old now and live more in that, you know, the timeless moment? Or you're still pursuing the path, trying to get closer to Maharaji, be one with God, you know, whatever.
I've always got to be pursuing the path. That's doing something.
Well, that's why I'm asking about.
I would like to stop doing and just be, just be.
If everybody here agrees with you, what's keeping you from that? Or me? Except our conditioning, but what do you feel? At this stage in your life, not that I see your life, but I mean, I see you here now. At this stage or this moment, I could see it would be totally great to only do what you want, what you, with quotes, want, with quotes, to do, with quotes. Not for any ulterior motive.
What do you mean?
Not for later. Not with some should on your head.
Yeah.
Not shooting on your head. But yet, isn't there something that keeps us from doing that?
Other people.
I hate other people. Other people are the worst. Except for me. But I'm sure you remember Sartre. Knowing you, you probably you went to his philosophy classes at the Sorbonne or somewhere. But he said, and he was kind of an atheist, you know, he was a sort of communist, socialist, agnostic, atheist philosopher who never talked about heaven or hell. But he has one famous quote about hell relevant to this. Perhaps you remember. He said, "Hell is other people." I think that's the downside of too much of this existential emptiness. Not enough of the warm-hearted inner light of the vast spaciousness.
Because I know I need... when I get realized, I don't know what that is. I want to have everybody coming along. But I don't want them to screw up my
party, your nirvana, your peace.
Yeah.
Well, that's you know, a bit of, it's like the old Zen koan. You can't live with him and you can't live without him. You can't be enlightened with him, you can't be enlightened without him, so I guess you can't be enlightened. Well, you can chew on that until your teeth wear down, your jaw wears down, your head falls off, and you're just a heart, not worrying about enlightenment anymore.
I don't worry anymore. I don't care about the future. And I don't care about the past. This is about what I've got. I'm going into it.
Well, then now is enough.
Come on. Now and enough.
Now is enough. You're the master of the be here now. I mean, I think I'm getting tired. I think the now is getting a little old. We need a little new now. A little freshening. Although the substance of it is not getting old, but the clicheing about it gets a little old. Clicheing about it, like, I can't remember anything. I live in the now. Or I can't remember anything. I meditate too much. Or let's not make plans. Planning is a nowness activity.
Yes, it is.
You need to plan the route. It's nowness awareness is planning. There's no contradiction. Remembering is a nowness activity. Just that we don't want to live in our heads in the past. It's too nostalgic. That's all. It's all nowness awareness, nowness isness. Why discriminate against past or future thoughts? I think that's part of the clicheing that we see a little bit in the New Age ghetto about the now that you started. I blame you for everything. You're the original producer of all this. We all follow along. You know, I've been thinking and writing about time a lot lately, and this is an evergreen, timeless subject long before Be Here Now and you know, Eckhart Tolle's New Now or whatever is the next now. But I think it's very important for us to realize that it may seem far from us, but we're never out of it. And we do live in the now, and remembering and planning and doing what needs to be done, and all fits.
Yes,
practically speaking.
I understand that.
Like, we made an appointment to do this at 11 o'clock, so time is illusory and relative, but it's also useful in the horizontal, the linear sense, conventional time.
Yeah.
Although the ascendant, deepest sense, intersects the eternal now, intersects every moment of it.
Yeah.
But past, present, and future.
Yeah.
So every moment is a stepping stone or has in its heart the eternal, the timeless, the infinite, you said. Time and space, the infinite, timeless.
That's nice.
This is a Tibetan symbol. It's an ancient mandala of wholeness. The Christians co-opted it. It's a mandala. It probably predates that back to the Hindu swastika. Not the Nazi swastika, but you know, the Hindu, the symbol of the moving wholeness, the ascendant, you know, Shiva and Shakti intersecting.
Yeah.
In the moment or everywhere is the center of the mandala. No outside, all center, this kind of ancient, non-dualistic thinking. Each being is the whole divinity.
Well, that's nice.
That's what I learned from Maharaji and from Buddha and from my teachers. And you started all this. I just want to say, you know, like I could never. Yesterday at lunch, somebody was stroking me or poking me. You never know which. That now I have more books than Ram Dass. And I would say, you know, you started all this. You showed us how to do it and also how to talk about it and also how to collect one-liners and how to bring the holy fire down from the mountain to the streets and put it in English today. And you're still doing it. And I know you're talking more about the heart these days and trying to remind us not to be too caught up in the mind. So I like to heartily, you know, sort of encourage you to bring that out a little more even here. I know we're using words, you know, but not just enlightenment from the eyebrows up. I know that's a concern of all of ours.
Yeah. The only way I can bring the heart out is by mentioning Maharaji. And he started it all. Because I went and stayed 6 months the first time I was in India.
And
I,
you with Maharaji?
I was me, yeah.
Is that where you got your name? I thought you got it from Siddhi Ma or somebody.
No,
or
no.
Ram Dass.
And Baba, my teacher, Baba Haridas, he came in and he said, and all the time until there, Maharaji had forbidden anybody to write about him. Even when the governor even the governor.
The governor of what?
I don't know.
The governor. I've been wanting to know who's governing for a long time. Go on, don't let me distract you with my
And everybody was just bugged, wanted to give him, and he, Baba said, you know, Maharaji gave you Ashirvad for your book. And I said, well, there's two questions. What is Ashirvad and whose book? I'd never submitted what a book.
You knew what was in your mind.
And he says, Ashirvad is blessing. And it's a book, I don't know. So I
you didn't know and he didn't know. And
yeah.
That's the book.
And that's how Be Here Now came. I mean,
that's a great story of creative mystery.
Yeah.
Out of nothing, everything. So Maharaji is your muse then, not just your guru, and everything that you do or create is his, you're channeling him without him, overemphasizing the word channeling.
I am his.
He's the vessel.
I am his vessel. I am his puppet.
His ventriloquist dummy. We were joking about that the other day.
Dummy. Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes I when I give a lecture, I'm surprised by something that comes out of my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And I sort of, what is that? Where is that from? And it's somebody is using me.
You're possessed by him? Is that your excuse for all the things that you do around here? That's a good one.
It's good as an excuse at any, give me to God. That, in Dada's book, Near and the Dear, he says it's, the guru is chiseling, like somebody sculpting. Coming up, and I'm David. Boy.
Nice. Yeah. The perfect image of man as God.
Yeah, as man as God. As man as God.
So how does that chiseling feel? For me, it feels sometimes like he's banging on me with a hammer or a sharp tool. And it's hard to like it, surrender to it, accept it, that it's bringing out.
Well, you're way back. Within.
I'm way back.
Because I'm only sanding.
You're up to the sanding and polishing. I'm still with the bang and chiseling.
He's polishing me.
He's polishing, so you're almost done.
I'm almost done.
You're looking very pink, like pink marble right out of Michelangelo's aquarium. David was naked too, you remember?
You know, I sometimes I show reincarnation like this. This is one sort of incarnations. That's the final one.
That's the final one? I seem to remember Ramakrishna getting stuck like that in that famous picture. Yeah. Maybe the picture is stuck and he went move on, but it looks like he was in samadhi. So that's your feeling about reincarnation? Just the consciousness?
You're getting there. So people come to me and they are saying, my life is so chaotic, and I say, just wait a couple of incarnations.
I don't think we Americans like to wait. We want it now. So are you waiting, or are you there, or in between, kind of being there while getting there? Like,
no, I'm just.
What are you doing? Allegedly,
the path is the goal. The path is the goal. Just this.
Sweet.
Enough.
I have a few things to say, ask.
Stop. Okay, let him say a few words.
Stop. No, this involves you, your participation. I mean, I don't know if, you know, if it's usable or not, but yesterday, our young poet friend, Ken over here, Ken Burns, as I call him, behind the camera, was saying he was just reading the Duino Elegies by German poet Rilke, and how marvelous it was. And so it came to mind, what's left in my mind, to mention to him, ask if he had, you remember, have read Rilke's great classic, short classic, Letters to a Young Poet, which so transcends the genre of poetry, and it's really letters to a young spirit, just letters from the elder to the young. And I was thinking it would be really marvelous if, you know, you, we, other elders, etc., could talk a little bit about that kind of thing, maybe under the rubric, you know, in these puja side chats with Ram Dass, but under the rubric of letters to a young seeker, letters to a young Bodhisattva, letters to a young spiritual practitioner. You suggested the title, Letters to a Young Bhakta. Letters to a Young Devotee, Disciple. avid follower or seeker of God and truth and love. What do you think about that? What would you say, as a letter, maybe beginning this chain letter, and we can pass it on and other elders could weigh in on it?
Well,
a little epistle to the young bhaktis and seekers and spirits today.
The young people in the West are different from the young people in the East. The East have got a culture that supports them to think of things of the... I mean, if a kid is named Krishna, it's hard for him to avoid
Krishna his whole life. Well, it's been done. I won't mention names.
But in we Westerners, we poison everything we touch. Like bhakti yoga, like kirtan. It's just fun and games.
And like yoga, just for health and losing the other possible dimensions.
And yeah, then it's.
This podcast is brought to you by the Love Serve Remember Foundation and Ramdas.org. We appreciate you listening and we appreciate all the support that you've given us. Please continue that support and donate at Ramdas.org. We can then continue to share what Ramdas has been sharing for all of these years. Thank you.